Howdy, everyone. This is Emmett Watkins Jr., also known as EJSpun61 on various places on the internet, and I am back with yet another episode of Backlog Backtalk. Good God, let's say the name. Backlog Backtalk, the show where I talk about just all the things I'm catching up on, all the old media, I guess, and just say my brief thoughts about each of them. And sometimes the notifications on my phone play in the background, which is always fun. So first off, I want to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. As you can hopefully tell, the quality on this one is a lot better. So I'm recording these podcasts, or at least I'm publishing these podcasts through the use of the app Anchor. Anchor is a very easy to use podcasting app where you can record directly in the app itself. You can add a lot of edits and such in the app itself. But they also allow you to import just straight up audio files to add into your podcast, and then uploading it to Anchor will automatically publish it out to a bunch of different podcasting platforms. And that is what I've done. This is going to be the fourth episode now, as you guys already know. But I've been, you know, test trialing with some other episodes earlier, and I feel like I finally got a good mix because there's an import feature on this. So I'm able to import just episodes of the podcast that I can record elsewhere off of my phone. So me recording this right now, I'm actually using my my Snowball microphone on my computer. It's the same microphone I use for my video commentaries on YouTube. So this quality should be quite a deal better than the other ones. And of course, I'm not recording this in my car or some other place where there's going to be a lot of sound and I'm not walking around or anything. So hopefully we're going to keep a format like this going on to the future. And I do think, as I said in previous episodes, I had yet to really tweet about the fact that I was doing this. This is more of just if you find my name on Anchor, then, you know, this is something for you to enjoy. Or if just you find me in other means. But with me doing this podcast with four episodes now and being confident in how it sounds, I think I'm going to go ahead and tweet this one out. And also, in addition to that, this podcast has gone to all the, or at least as many of the major services that I can imagine. So we're on Pocket Cast now, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcast. I assume we're not quite yet on Apple Podcast, but I think that should be coming pretty soon. If all these other platforms accepted the podcast, then, you know, I'm not too concerned about getting accepted elsewhere. So yeah, this podcast is going to be going a lot more places, so therefore we're going to try and stick with this slightly better format, and we'll start talking about it. So yeah, today I'm going to be talking about Bastion, the game that came out a long, long time ago. I want to say it was an Xbox 360 Summer of Arcade type title, little independent game. I picked it up a long time ago. I was cross-buy on PlayStation 4 and Vita, and I got through a really big chunk of it on Vita, and for whatever reason, I just put it down and just have not gone back to it until recently. Actually, Monday, I had the urge to play it for some reason, and so I actually booted it up on PS4 since I hadn't even played it on that platform, and fiddled with it for like about an hour or two, but I had some work to do for most of the week. And then I was off of work this Saturday, so I figured, let's go ahead and run through the end of this. And I only had about 2 or 3 hours more, so yeah, got through the end of Bastion. Did a couple of those challenge areas as well, but yeah, for the most part, I am done with Bastion, so I'm just going to give some quick thoughts on it. So overall, I enjoyed the game. It really gives me the vibe of, like, now, I've never played these types of games on console, but this is how I'd imagine it play. I was a really big fan of Torchlight 2 back in the day. I'm still a big fan, but I played it a lot back, I want to say 2013 or maybe even 2014 during the spring. I was in college off away from my house, so I had actually left my PS3 at home when I went away to college for my second semester. So that led to me gaming on my laptop more often because I had gotten a new laptop for the Christmas before, and so that led me to playing a lot of PC games, and Torchlight 2 is one of those games, and that is one of those action RPGs, you know, just like a Diablo like type game where it's going to be top down or isometric, and you're using a bunch of different abilities and you're using attacks, But on computer, of course, that is the primary control method there is clicking. You click to attack, you click to walk, or you click to walk around, you click to collect your armor. That is pretty much how everything's done. On Bastion, it seems like it's a very similar type of gameplay style, but on a controller, it's way more active. Think about Torchlight. I really enjoy Torchlight. I still enjoy Torchlight. I don't think I've yet to have beaten that game either. I don't think that's the type of game I would go back to. Maybe once I build myself a nice computer that is more than just my laptop. We'll see about it. But anyway, Bastion is a way more active game because it is it's on a console. It's not just with one mouse input, one very precise input. With it being on a console, you have to keep track of more things. So positioning is very important. There is a dodge here. You have to dodge out of the way of certain attacks. And dodging is just very vital for taking down some enemies. There is a blocking mechanic. There is a countering mechanic where you have to, you know, be well with timing. And some of the weapons here also are very advantageous if you are dexterous with the controls. So, they have, like, for instance, my go-to combo is using the mallet. I forget what the mallet's called, but they have a mallet-type weapon. I use that pretty much for most of the game. I want to say a good 70% of the game I use that. And also use the musket, which is kind of like a shotgun in this game. So what I typically do is I just dodge around the entire environment. And then I'll dodge, take a shot with my shotgun. And then while it's reloading, I'll dodge again. And then by the time my dodge is over, I got another shotgun shot ready. And that stop and pop gameplay is kind of how I adapted to my playstyle. And a lot of these weapons adapt to your playstyle. They have a pike that is really good at like strong hits, but it's like a poking type animation. So you can get enemies from a longer distance, but it's going to be more directed. And then that's in contrast to the mallet that I was using. Mallet is really good at quick strikes. But if you stop moving while you're swinging the mallet, you'll do some ground pounds. You'll do some like uppercuts with the mallet. And it won't just be, you know, quick swipes every time with the mallet. You'll do a little bit more damage if you stand still. So that's the type of gameplay that I enjoyed as well. And there's other weapons too. Like you got your machetes. You got your mortar launcher. And there are plenty of weapons like this mortar launcher where it's not just about spamming the attack button or, you know, holding it down to let out a barrage of bullets. With the mortar launcher, that's literally a hold to build up, hold up, you hold the button in order to, like, travel, in order to bring the target of where your mortar is going to land, and then you let go and the mortar lands. It's a different way of controlling it, and that is one thing I'm really impressed by in this game. There's a lot of different things they're able to do with a very simple control scheme. Because the only attack buttons you have are square and circle. You can, of course, attach different attacks to each of those buttons with the different weapons. But you always have a ranged attack and you always have a melee attack. And they're able to do a lot with just that button. Like I said, shotgun is just going to be, you tap that and it's just bam, just shot blast. But if you get something like the bow and arrow, which I believe is one of the starting weapons, you can hold on to that square until you charge up your shot, and then you can let it go at a very opportune time and charge it up for a power shot. I already said the mortar, so a similar weapon to the mortar is the, I want to say it's called the, maybe not the musket, there's like a rifle where you basically charge it up to kind of focus the aim fire of the weapon, and then once you focus it well enough, you can get a power shot as well. Plus you have your dual pistols where you can just let out a barrage of bullets in very quick time by just tapping the button as much as you can, but that does have a clip and you do have to reload. I'm really impressed by the amount of gameplay styles that they account for using this very simple control scheme. And that's something, though I didn't take full advantage of that, I don't think, because once I found my loadout, I pretty much just leveled that up. Despite, every now and then switching to pistols just to do something different. I really stuck with that shotgun and I stuck with that mallet for the majority of the game, but I did appreciate the wide variety of play styles it allowed for. That was something very cool. Another thing I really appreciated was the aesthetic of the game. And this goes from the art design, very, very pretty game. Especially once I blew it up there on the PS4 after playing it on Vita for so long, it's a very, very beautiful game, just artistically. I really dig the narration. I forget the man's voice. They popped up on the credits. I just saw it like less than an hour ago, but here I am not remembering. The voice of the narrator sticks out very, very well. And it's literally, well, I'm not going to say just his voice the entire game, but it's his voice for a great, great majority of the game. I want to say a good 90% of the game is just his voice. And he has like this very old and weathered tone to him, which makes sense for his character. He has this, like, you know, speaking like a wise man type of vibe to his tone. And it's something I appreciate, and it's something that really fits the vibe of this world, where this whole world feels like a really tragic fairy tale in a way, or maybe like a fable. It feels fantastical, but it also feels like kind of dark and foreboding at the same time, with this whole game is begun with a calamity. And I'm not necessarily going to say much more than that. I don't want to spoil too much, because the story actually does take some turns towards the end. But yeah, I enjoyed the undertones of it was fantastical, but it was also very, not very grim, but it had some grim undertones that was like, wow, that's kind of heavy, or that's kind of depressing. It was something I wasn't really expecting from a game like this. But you know, I feel like that is the reason why this game got so much acclaim back in the day, and it's still, you know, talked up, well from people when it's brought up. So that was very neat to see. Also, I'd say just the characters are really good. It's a very small circle of characters. The kid is your protagonist as the character you're playing as the entire game. But I feel like he's more of a vehicle for the player than he is his own independent character. They do try to flesh out a backstory with him if you do some of the side content. But yeah, ultimately, I feel like he is just a vehicle for us. And it is pretty cool seeing, once again, the narrator's character is in this game. And it is pretty cool. You find out at the end of the game who he's talking to the whole game. It might seem like he's talking to you the whole game, but not quite the case. And they make that clear by the end of it. And so I like that twist. And there's some other pretty cool twists that they make at the end of the game that I thought was, oh, that's pretty neat. There are two different endings, which isn't necessarily a spoiler. You can see that at the trophy list. You can see the trophy list allows for one thing and one thing. But yeah, I don't want to quite spoil what those endings are, but I will say, the game's a very, it's a gamey game. When I say gamey game, it's about the gameplay. I like Bastion more for its combat. I like Bastion more for the intense situations it puts on you just by taking out these enemies as quick as possible. I think that's a really satisfying gameplay loop. You know, there's experience levels. It's not like a Diablo type game in the fact that you're getting a lot of loot and that you're unlocking a bunch of rewards super swiftly, because that is definitely not the case. But I will say it's the type of game where it's just the combat, the taking down enemies, because you are getting XP. You are getting these little blue crystals that serve as a currency for the game. You are constantly upgrading your character, but like in minor ways. So you're not like unlocking, oh, I got a new sword that does 10% more damage. It's not like that. There's like a good 6 different types of weapons that you can equip. There's like 6 melee weapons that are all unique, and you can equip those at any time once you unlock them. And there's like maybe 6 different range weapons that all are unique that you can use at any time. Flamethrower is one of those too. I don't think I mentioned that. I think it said machete for the melee. Anywho, so it's going to be a really small base of weapons, but how they keep the upgrades going is they have these different elixirs that you can equip in the distillery, and these elixirs are going to give you different bonuses like 10% health, the ability to heal yourself when damaging enemies, and other little things like that. You know, 100% critical damage once your health goes under, I want to say 30%, and just little cool things like that. That is how it keeps it up. And it also has challenges, which is an aspect that I'm a really big fan of. I like it when a game's tracking your progress, not just holistically, but specifically. They have these different, I don't know if they're called bounties, but they have these things you can unlock where, let's say you do a particularly incredible feat with one of the weapons. They have a kind of like what I equate to a rocket launcher type weapon that you unlock towards the end of the game. They have a challenge for taking down three enemies at once with that weapon. And if you do that, then you get 500 of their little blue crystal currency. And then that currency ties back into you, where you can use that to upgrade your weapons even further. And I really enjoy that system. And then the weapon upgrades, you do that in the forge. It costs currency, but also they have certain a completely different type of material. That's the word I'm looking for. You collect these materials throughout the game, and these upgrade your weapons. And then also, it's just very, very deep. And then every time you equip these weapons, every time you unlock them throughout the main storyline, you can go to these completely separate islands, and I'll ask you to do a challenge to prove your might and prove your ability with these weapons. So, you know, and then they're all very specific. Once you unlock that flamethrower, there's one where you just got to burn down a bunch of these flying bird enemies as fast as possible. Once you get that little spear pike that I talked about, they put you into a puzzle room, basically, where you have all these like plant-like enemies that shoot barbs in one straight line, and you have to dodge all these straight lines of barbs and take out the right ones so that you can progress and turn off a series of switches. So they use these weapons in pretty creative puzzle-like ways sometimes, and it just brings out the uniqueness in each weapon, and they don't feel like palette swaps at all. They feel like completely new ways to play the game, and I really appreciate that. So I could talk about the combat, I could talk about the gameplay all day. And I'm sure there's even aspects I'm missing out on. But ultimately, I really, really dug the gameplay. Narratively, that's the thing I struggle with on the narrative. With me taking such a long break in between, I think I started playing this game in what? It's probably around when it first came out. Because when it first came out, it was like immediately 70% off, because it was such a long time coming to PlayStation with this game. And I think I picked it up there for, I want to say, $375 maybe. And that was probably back in 2014 or so. And it's 2018 now, and I'm finally getting to the end of it. I feel like the narrative would have done so much more for me if I had played it all in a faster, all in less time. With this good 3 or 4 year gap, I don't really remember all the events that happened at the beginning. But the ending, I feel, was very strong despite that. I didn't quite understand everything of what was going on, but they do add a twist at the end that I thought was really cool, really interesting, and definitely engaged me. And they ask, there are a couple of choices here that, while one of those choices, I didn't quite see how they factored into the ending. I thought it was really cool still how they gave you the choice to do that. I feel like that was more of a symbolic choice. And then there's another choice that I feel also is a little bit more symbolic, but might have some deeper repercussions, depending on what happens if I was to choose the other choice. I really don't want to get into spoilers here, but I do think Bastion is a great game. Ultimately, just to, I guess, surmise and wrap things up, Bastion's a really, really fun game. The combat alone in this game is worth the asking price, if you ask me. It's just really satisfying combat, really fast-paced combat, or I guess as fast as you want it to be. It definitely asks a lot of you just dexterity-wise. I wouldn't say it's like an ultimately challenging game. This game's really good about making it as hard as you want it to be. They actually have a different system called Shrines where it's somewhat harder. For example, you know, enemies will drop little explosives when you kill them, but you'll get a 15% bonus to earned currency and 15% bonus to XP, so it'll help you level up a little bit faster. And it also allows for replayability, so you can go back to these missions that seemed easy earlier in the first time, and then you can do a new game plus run, turn on a lot of these shrines, and play through it with even more challenge, but get a lot more reward. So the game's really good about letting you choose your own pace and difficulty, but it remains fun just because of that combat variation and those different weapons allowing for different gameplay. So I feel like this is a game I enjoy more for the gameplay than anything else, really. I really do enjoy the aesthetic. I really do enjoy the narration. But I feel like all of that builds towards the narrative, and the narrative simply didn't hit me as hard as it really should have, just because of my own fault in getting to this game so late and just not sticking with it all the way through the first time. So yeah, if you do decide to pick up Bastion, yeah, I would say stick with it. The narrative is actually pretty strong, especially once you get to that ending. It's a pretty satisfying payoff, I'd say. And you're definitely, even though this is a gameplay heavy game, do not treat it as if the story does not matter. It is something I feel like a lot of people would dig. So yeah, that is pretty much all my thoughts on Bastion. And I will say, between Vita and PS4, I feel like I enjoyed, the game was a lot easier to play on PS4 because that controller I'm much more used to. I play my PS4 way more than my Vita, of course. The game library alone makes that the case. So if you're thinking about which, because it is cross-buy if you buy the game on either platform, and it's also available on PC, Xbox, you know, it's available everywhere. But if you're talking about PlayStation specifically, if you pick it up there, you will get it on PS4 and Vita. And if you're trying to figure out which one to play as, Vita is perfectly serviceable. I enjoyed all of it on Vita, but I feel like the game got easier for me on PS4. It's akin to when people play their Switch in, you know, handheld mode versus playing their Switch in console mode, where it's hooked up to a TV. I feel like it's akin to that, where, you know, it's totally fine handheld. It's totally serviceable, but man, the ease of which I was able to do things, the ease of which I was able to maneuver through the world and use the weapons when on PS4, it was close to a different ballgame. So yeah, I'd probably say play this one on PS4, but this is an indie title that, this is the type of game I'd enjoy more on a Vita anyway, and seems like the perfect type of game for a Vita experience. So it just depends on what you value. Gameplay wise, I feel like it's smooth on both. I don't think there's like any graphical issues on either console. But just like gameplay wise, me being way more familiar just time wise with that PS4 controller, I'd recommend it there. But I also just like the idea, I like the concept of a game like this on Vita. And for that reason alone, I'm definitely gonna, now that I've beat the game, I'm not trying to replay it on PS4 at all, so I'm gonna delete it there. But there is a chance I might keep this one on Vita, because this is such a satisfying gameplay experience. This might be a good one to just, you know, bounce back to time and time again. So I might keep it on there. But hey, nonetheless, this is Backlog Backtalk, and I have a lot of other Vita games I need to play instead. So hey, who knows if I'll make any progress on that. But anyway, so thank y'all for listening to this episode of Backlog Backtalk, in which we talked about the game Bastion from Supergiant Games. I've actually yet to play Transistor, which I also own from them thanks to PlayStation Plus. So yeah, thank you all for listening to this episode. Hopefully we'll see y'all in the next one. If you want updates from me, follow me on Twitter, EJSponge61. Same thing, that's the same name for my Instagram as well. And if you just Google that name, I'm sure you'll find me on any social network you want. Do be on the lookout for my Twitter. I'm actually planning on doing some stuff with friends that I think we're going to be launching pretty soon. I don't want to be too specific and start saying names, but yeah, be on the lookout. I'm planning on doing some pretty big things with some folks of mine. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, and also be on the lookout on new episodes for this show right here, in which I talk about, you know, older games, older movies as well. We started this series with a movie, so if this is your first episode you're listening, please do listen back to the old episodes, and do forgive me for my past transgressions in the previous episodes. Audio quality is not great. That is me recording directly from my phone and having some microphone issues and things. You can hear me in all the episodes, but it's just not ideal as far as audio quality is concerned. So please forgive me for that, but as you can see in this episode, I like to think I'm doing a lot better. So yeah, without further ado, thank y'all for listening. This has been Emmett Watkins Jr., and as I always say, keep it real, keep it true.